Don't believe everything you hear, even in your own mind. Daniel Amen.
Empowerment and education, two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Welcome to the Essential Oil Revolution. I'm your host, Samantha Lee Wright, and happy New Year's, everyone. This is one of my favorite times of year because it really is like a restart button for so many people looking to make a change to their health, make a change to their lifestyle, whatever it is for you. The New Year's can be such a great time to do that. Now, for today's episode, we are taking a slight departure from our usual essential oil related topics. We are actually going to devote this episode to not an essential oil, but actually a fatty oil many of you know and love, known as coconut oil. I've got a very special guest on the show. It's a fascinating episode. If you've ever asked yourself, what is a healthy fat? What is a bad fat? You have to listen to this episode. The first about 30 minutes of the show is dedicated to the topic of fats, healthy fats, coconut oil, the recent coconut oil scandal, if you are aware of that. And Christy Jo does a great job of breaking that down. The last, I'd say about the 30-minute mark is, I'd say, a must listen for everyone out there. Listen to 30 minutes and beyond if you're looking to implement some major lifestyle changes in your life for the new years. If you're looking to live a healthier lifestyle, the truth bombs that are dropped in the middle of this episode, I hardly ever do this, you guys, but I'm going to say it. If you don't have time to listen to this whole episode, skip to the 30-minute mark because, man, she blew my mind. So it's going to be a great episode. Before we get to the interview, let's pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout. Today's recipe comes from Amanda Southern at daleamandas@gmail.com. And the recipe is for homemade lotion bars. You'll need 1 cup beeswax, 1 cup coconut oil, 1 cup shea butter, 3 to 4 vitamin E capsules, and 20 to 30 drops of your favorite essential oils. She uses approximately 15 drops of lavender and 5 drops frankincense for her family's recipe. To make the lotion bars, you'll melt the beeswax, coconut oil, and shea butter all together. Squeeze the vitamin E from the capsules into the mixture and add your essential oils. Pour into molds, then allow to cool. Thanks, Amanda. Great recipe. If you have your own recipe to supply to our DIY dugout, email us at revolutionoilspodcast@gmail.com.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life, and it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of the life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
So guys, I'm super excited to introduce you to a wonderful, amazing woman named Christy Joe. She's a mind and body strategist and author of The Power Foods Lifestyle. She specializes in helping women learn how to become masterful strategists of their own health to design the right nutrition strategy for their goals, their hormones, their psychological profiles, and their preferences. Christy Joe is the host of the Body Buddies podcast and Power Your Life Today podcast, and spends her time from sunup till sundown empowering women to step into their most powerful selves so they can power up the people around them. Christy Joe, welcome to the show.
Sam, thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, I'm just thrilled. I've been following your work for a while. I just think everything you do is golden. But for those that are not familiar with what you do over at Body Buddies, do you want to tell us a little more about that?
Sure. The summary is that for most of my life, I struggled with disordered eating, thinking, body dysmorphia, etc., as most women do. And I finally hit a point about 5 years ago in 2012 that I felt that the world was caving in on me and knew a distinct change had to happen. I kind of went into hibernation mode and wiped the slate clean as far as my learning, swung to an opposite extreme of bodybuilding. And from there on out, started sharing what I was learning. I had to navigate a new way of thinking about food and fitness in a psychological and emotional way, bridging the gap between that reality and the science. I'm a nerd, and so I'm deep in the clinical studies often and reading what the latest research is, looking scientifically at all the data, formulating my own hypotheses, testing different data against each other, looking at what variables were left out. And so basically challenging the outcome and saying, okay, what wasn't considered here? Where most people look at any headline or abstract and they say, oh, great, so that's a fact. I look at it backwards. And so through that, I started building this coaching business that's now expanded into multiple programs in reprogramming the way we think about food, our bodies, the emotions and coping mechanisms that cause food addiction, the way we can either train our bodies for aesthetic outcomes or functional fitness or just reclaiming health. And my most well-known autoimmune condition I work with is hypothyroidism. So it's quite broad. It's grown and kind of things start small and then they keep going, doors open and you roll with it. You build your team and you say, let's help more people. So it's been beautiful and exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. So Christy Jo, I think so many people are searching for those like fast solution, those headline solutions, you know, tell me exactly what to eat and why, and I'll do it. But I know that your approach is much different than that. It's much more tailored to the individual. But if you could sort of sum up your philosophy on healthy eating, what would that be?
Sure. It's that there is no good or bad foods. And that comes from a psychological standpoint. When we get rid of that notion, we open up a whole new paradigm where we can look at things more critically and look at the composition rather than a label that somebody attached to it. And we may have believed that from a young age. And so we get into nutrient pairing, meal timing, and appropriate food sourcing at the right intensity. I teach four different tiers of eating. And so a person can more easily get away from all or nothing thinking, the diet off, on the wagon, off the wagon, and instead have very contextual information as to how to approach their nutrition and knowing the expected outcome based on that intensity. So it really eliminates the whole industry's outcome of like, do this and then you're done. And you know, it's not very marketable, only to the right people. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. But it's revolutionary because it's the real solution. And I can't teach anything but the real solutions that truly change lives.
Absolutely. Well, one of the reasons that I was so excited to invite you onto the show was because of one of those issues out there kind of recently that came across my world about, you know, this very black and white view of something that sounds silly to say is so near and dear to my heart, which is coconut oil. But coconut oil, for those that are maybe new to essential oils, is not an essential oil. So today we are taking a rabbit hole path down something completely unrelated to essential oils, except for the fact that it is most oil lovers' go-to carrier oil. So in the oil world, we have essential oils, which come from plant. They're extracted from plants. They're volatile compounds. And then you have carrier oils, which are fatty-based oils. Some of them you might cook with, such as olive oil or coconut oil. There's like jojoba oil, sweet almond oil, all these fatty-based oils that we call carrier oils that we use to mix with our essential oils to dilute them down to apply to different parts of our body. So that's the difference. Now, this show is all about essential oils all day, every day. But today I wanted to take a side road, as if it were, because of my love of coconut oil and because of the recent scandal, you might call it, that has come up revolving around whether or not coconut oil is good or bad for you, which you were just talking about, Christy Jo. There is no good or bad. So I'm super excited to dive into this topic. I want to have you start by sort of getting people up to speed about this kind of recent scandal and everything that's going on. But first, because we are an essential oil show, I want to ask you, Christy, what are your favorite essential oils to use?
Ooh, my favorite essential oils. Let's see, lavender is something I keep on me all the time. As you probably are aware, you know, when we work in a lot of content generation and we're always communicating with people. I live a very high stress life. I try to be very zen most of the time, but there are days where the deadlines and the expectations are very high. So lavender is something I keep around quite often. In fact, there have been many times where I just take the bottle. Tell me if this is wrong. I am not an expert at essential oils, but when I'm done working in my business and then I'm driving to teach dance and I have to shift my brain into from left side business side to right side creative and loving and exploration, and I just sit in there sniff lavender for the 40-minute commute and I'm like, oh, okay, we can do this. So definitely one of my favorites, and I do have a diffuser in my workspace. So I do keep lavender around me at all times. And then the second one I use is Copaiba. Did I say that right?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. And especially with how hard I train, I also have very severe scoliosis. So muscles needing some relaxation, a little bit of that relief and reduction of inflammation. I find that to be such a wonderful oil. In fact, it was recommended to me by one of my clients who has arthritis and she loves it. It helps her so much. So those are probably my top two go-tos. So yeah, I sure love them. They do great things for me.
That's great. I love it. We actually just recently had a whole episode on Copaiba versus CBD oil. So those people can learn more about Copaiba, go back to, I think it was episode 102. So, well, thanks for sharing that. Now let's dive in. What is this coconut oil scandal all about?
So in June of 2017, USA Today came out with this article, very sensationalist headline, that basically claimed our darling, our favorite coconut oil.
Beloved.
And it said, yes, this is basically causing damage to our health. The entire article skewed some very incorrectly done research from the 1940s that was very vague, that didn't have the right control variables, sensationalized this headline by saying, basically, you need to stop doing this. And the entire article talked about, if you truly want to reduce your LDL cholesterol, your high triglycerides, and your total cholesterol, then you need to replace your coconut oil with, oh gosh, I can't even say it,
vegetable oil.
I mean, every health professional in America is going, what? And it just goes to show the marketing, the controversial space. This is a $3 trillion industry. Everything in America comes back to a socioeconomical pull as far as profits go and what companies will benefit. And when you truly dive deep into all of the research, you see that there's just big money in this. Who would benefit from such an article? I wonder.
Exactly. Like, where does vegetable oil come from? Corn, grain, soybeans, all things grown in the United States, which is great. I would love to support local economy, local, you know, farms, sure, but not when it's at detriment to my health, right? Where are coconuts grown in the United States? Not so much, right?
Not so much.
So yes, very interesting. But I think really for people to get a good understanding of this, we kind of do need to go back to the 1940s and look at that those studies. Can you catch people up on that real quick?
I haven't looked at this topic in a little bit, but so I can't say the exact variables that were tested. But essentially what happened was that Ansel Keys, that's his name, his research was identifying like the connection with LDL cholesterol and saturated fats. So saturated fats are those from animals, but for those who don't know, coconut oil is about 70% saturated fat. So it wasn't a direct study with coconut oil. Instead, there was the hypothesis, there was a huge gap that was jumped in order to make this claim. And so yes, do saturated fats raise your LDL cholesterol and your triglycerides? Sure. But what variables? Like, that's such a vague general statement. We have to go so deep into looking at, okay, well, truly how much? What's the percentage of saturated fats to polyunsaturated or monounsaturated fats? How much protein is in the diet? Now, here's the killer fact. What actually causes those saturated fats to be the problem? It's when you oxidize them. Now, what macronutrient would oxidize saturated fats.
Sugar?
Yeah, sugar. Carbohydrates break down to sugar. And so it is the combinations of carbohydrates with saturated fats to make that in very layman's terms. Let's take a burger. Burger, let's say, even if it's grass-fed, yes, it's saturated fat primarily. It's from an animal. But you put the bun, which is the carbohydrate, which breaks down to sugar and oxidizes that. That's the problem. It's not that the burger's the problem. And so again, when you cherry pick your data and you present it and then you formulate this hypothesis, and the general population doesn't care to do the research. They don't even know how to do the research. So all they can do is read a headline and then formulate an opinion and then go spread it like wildfire. And unfortunately, that's what this whole coconut oil scandal was about. And so, yes, saturated fat in proper portions and ratios, which here at the Power Foods Lifestyle Body Buddies I teach, it's a 1/3 ratio to 2/3 ratio, monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats will be just fine. And you just be careful about oxidizing your fats.
So I want to ask you more about saturated versus unsaturated fats, healthy fat versus bad fat. We can kind of go into that. But let's break this down more. Christy Jo, what is a healthy fat versus a bad fat, quote unquote?
Yeah, healthy fat versus bad fat. So healthy fats are those that are going to help our hormones to function. They're going to help our brains to function. So if we were to break that down, that would look like coconut oil. Yes, that would look like 100% extra virgin olive oil, flaxseed oil, walnut oil, anything that's based in a plant-based food. So avocado oil, that's actually my favorite oil to use in my cooking. A bad oil, and even though I hate the labels good and bad because it creates this like fear epidemic inside of us, let's just look at, okay, problematic oils. Those are going to be those that raise our cholesterol. Well, that's hydrogenation. Hydrogenation is, without going too deep into it, a process that companies started to use to make products more shelf stable beginning back in the 40s, 50s, 60s when electricity came to be, and they no longer had a way to sell a bunch of candles. So how did they do it? Oh, they start using that same process called hydrogenation to create shelf-stable oils. Well, then you look at the 70s and the 80s where vegetable oil, corn oil starts to be on the rise, and mothers and commercials are told this is what you're supposed to use. And so that was the biggest problem. When hydrogenation is in there, which hydrogenation also comes in the form of soybean oil, that's a huge one we want to look for in our labels. This causes the LDL cholesterol to rise. It causes inflammation in the body. It's an unnatural molecular compound that the body cannot process. And so if we are dining out, which most places, unless you're eating at a very fine place that charges you for it, they're probably using a trans fatty oil and, you know, something like vegetable oil, something like Crisco, something like canola oil. Those are all of our quote unquote bad oils that I would just say not strategic to building our health. That's the word I choose to use.
Right. And Christy Jo, that statement, that advice is so different than what has been mass marketed, right? So there's going to be a lot of people tuning in going, what are you talking about? I've been told forever and ever to avoid saturated fat, avoid, you know, butter and, you know, anything saturated and just consume vegetable oil. It's the healthy option. So I know you've already explained it, but maybe just kind of explain it in little more baby steps for people.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's think, how can I say this so simply? When you choose to follow statements made on the internet, and we go to the false god of Google to find our understanding and our points of reference, then we are not probably getting the full story. So if you've been told things for the majority of your life, as most people have, there's a reason for that. The recent studies and every reputable doctor or dietitian or functional doctor in this country is stating we
it is okay to eat saturated fat in proper percentages with our unsaturated fats. It is the vegetable oil, canola oil that must go, grass-fed butter, ghee. Those are wonderful fats that build our hormones, build our brain, build our health.
Now, when you say that the saturated fats are okay in healthy proportion, does that same logic apply to the vegetable oils, the canola oils, those cheap oils? Or are those just like, I know you don't like to do black and white, but should we just literally throw them away and try to never use them again? Like, do they have any beneficial part in our diets?
You make a great point, because should we just, if we know something's wrong for us, should we just automatically throw it out? So I would recommend everyone get them out of your homes, and you don't intentionally cook with them. If you're going to consume those types of oils, it should be more by consequence, like you're on vacation, you're dining out at a work function, your friends, well, even friends making you something, I'm not like obligated to eat it.
Right.
But I would say no intentional use of those oils. Yes. At that point, you have control.
Just to sort of break up the category so I understand, like peanut oil, is that it? Which category is that in?
I'm not a fan of peanut oil due to the lectins. It's the very least of our healthy nuts. And in a level of training someone, I would eventually get them off of peanut butter and into almond butter. And so I'd say it's lesser on the hierarchy of importance to do right away. I would put it in the middle.
Okay. And there was another one I was going to ask you about. What was it? Olive oil.
Olive oil.
Which category is that in?
Yes. Assuming we are buying the right kind, because of course, whenever something is claimed healthy and everyone starts to go that way, companies are going to put out less quality products. So we want to turn over the label. It should come from one country, not multiple countries, one vineyard, and it should come in a very dark bottle. If it's coming in a clear bottle, then chances are is that's been transported at one point or another, heat has been exposed to that oil and it has oxidized and it's not going to have the proper fats in it that we need and the health benefits. So assuming 100% extra virgin olive oil from one vineyard in a dark bottle that's not stored near the stove, wonderful oil.
Okay. Does it have to be glass or is plastic okay?
I would go with glass just because of plastics. If heat has touched it, then you're looking at BPAs. And BPAs, when plastic is heated, leach into any given substance, and those can become cancer causations.
All right. One last oil category question. What about bacon grease? For those that cook bacon, they store that fat. Is it okay to use that, like bacon fat, to cook in?
I'd treat that the same as coconut oil. I don't recommend everyone do everything in coconut oil. In the Power of Foods Lifestyle, the breakdown of when fats happen, how much, and those levels, it's all, you know, spelled out. And unfortunately, I don't have the time to go into that, but I would treat it like use once per day. That's fine. Well, then your next few meals, you need to be having plant-based fats. And then, you know, you could go back to a saturated fat, but everything in their due ratio.
Okay. Well, you said again that saturated fats such as coconut oil, bacon fat, that kind of stuff is okay to eat in healthy proportions. Let's dive into that. What is it? What's a healthy way to consume our oils?
Great question. So assuming, I mean, it's so hard. This is a very complex topic, but assuming we are on a basic caloric maintenance, we're not trying to drastically lose weight, then a tablespoon of oil is appropriate to be using in one meal. That's assuming I teach 5 to 6 meals per day due to the fact that most people need to rebuild their metabolism. Once the metabolism is up, then we can refine and go to 3 meals a day, intermittent fasting, etc. So 1 tablespoon a day paired with a protein source. It doesn't always have to be animal protein, though I am a fan of organic hormone-free animal protein 2 to 3 times per day for thyroid function. And so pairing that with a protein and a vegetable source, those cofactors of vitamins and minerals, is very helpful for packaging a meal in a way that those fats can become carriers for the cofactors, vitamins A, E, D, and K, which are fat-soluble vitamins. That's the only way they can be absorbed into the body and utilized. So let's translate that to real food. A tablespoon of butter with half a cup of liquid egg whites, that's your protein, and a bunch of vegetables like chopped up broccoli, spinach, etc. Season with that with sea salt and pepper. That's a great example. Another like dinner idea would be taking, let's take that bacon grease and let's throw in some chopped up asparagus and some bok choy and some carrots and let's saute that up. So you have your fat, you have your vegetables, let's throw a protein with it. Why don't we have a wild caught piece of salmon as well? Or, you know, whatever fish we can get our hands on. I do like wild caught, you know, the farmed industry. Well, that's a whole nother topic in itself. The more we can just purchase wild caught, the better.
Now, what would turn those meals into an unbalanced or unhealthy meal?
If we go back to the breakfast, the unhealthy and oxidation of that meal would be if we're adding two toasts to it. So those carbohydrates breaking down to sugars. And it's not that we shouldn't ever put butter on toast. But if you look at that again, it's the combination of a fat and a carb together. So I wouldn't want to see toast or a Pop-Tart or a French toast added to that protein vegetable fat combination. Likewise at dinner, if we added a russet potato, very starchy, high in sugar, while that's traditional for many people, that's one of the easiest places that I can get people to make a change that will drastically impact their cholesterol levels, their high blood pressure, even their brain fog that they wake up with in the morning.
Is just by separating those carbohydrates from your fats and proteins?
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Well, carbs, if they're going to be eaten, should be eaten with a protein to help stabilize the blood sugar, as carbohydrates will cause that blood sugar to go up. So it's either a fat or a carb. The protein vegetable anchor remains the same.
Interesting. Very, very cool.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Christy Jo, what demographics of people should really listen up about this whole integrating coconut oil into their daily nutritional intake?
I did an interview last week with a professor who was on a leading team of Alzheimer research that just was very highly publicized in the news. And while there still is no cure for Alzheimer's, there are most definitely indicators of lifestyle choices that can be made. In terms of if the gene is present, we want to be doing everything in our power nutritionally to help our bodies. So when it comes to any mental illness, whether it's Alzheimer's, dementia, or if we want to talk about something that impacts many young people even, is depression, bipolar disorder, anxiety, ADHD, getting appropriate fats to the brain are essential for helping reduce the inflammation. And again, it's not about adding more calories. It's about that we start adding in those fats and that coconut oil in replacement of the carbs. So instead of eating the bun with the hot dog, I mean, heaven forbid, I'm not teaching to eat hot dogs. I'm just providing a very real life example. I would say pull back from that bun and let's chop up that hot dog and cook it in a tablespoon of coconut oil, far more efficient. And so then you can, you know, change out your food sources as you get better at it. But that really will make a difference. Anybody who's experiencing neurological pain, arthritis, people with fibromyalgia, those who deal with PCOS, those who deal with high A1C, they need to reverse type 2 diabetes. Is it possible? Heavens, yes, absolutely. You know, there are so many things when we look at root causes of inflammation or causing a reduction of proper brain chemicals to be made. That's our issue. And so as we start making these small changes, they may seem small and insignificant, but over the course of time, assuming one healthy choice leads to another, it's incredible how we can get the mechanics of the body functioning properly.
Yeah, I think that lessening carbohydrates is not a small step for a lot of people. I think that that's a really difficult thing to do. So do you have any advice? Like, so maybe kind of recap again for us, when is it okay to have your bread, your toast, your potatoes, you know, those kind of things? And then maybe also some tips for, you know, how do you deal with that step of like, how do I not eat these things with every meal? Because I'm so used to doing that.
Right. So the first thing would be looking at time of day. There are two reasons we need carbohydrates. Assuming a person for medicinal purposes doesn't need to do ketosis, a different dogma, if you will, of eating, which there's certainly a time and a place for that. But assuming we're not going there, I like us to focus on eating carbohydrates for one, physiological purposes. It's fuel to the brain and the muscles. So if we're going to be active, if we are going to be taking a test, if we are going to be engaged in some form of any form of physical activity, then having a source of carbs with our protein and our vegetables might be wise. And it's not to say it's needed, because I certainly do try and gear people towards a more fat-adapted way of eating. But that for most people, that's like one source of carbs per day, whether sweet potatoes, brown rice, quinoa, lentils, or fruit. And then the second time is, let's be real, psychology.
Right.
And emotions. And I mean, every single person is going to have differently programmed coping mechanisms to stress, to difficulty, to heartbreak and tragedy, death, anger, job loss. You know, there are issues we all face on a daily basis. And so whatever has been programmed in as a coping mechanism, in spite of knowledge, we will probably turn to those. So if for some reason we find ourselves in a situation where we need something, it's not about, oh my gosh, I can't have that. It's more, hey, I recognize I'm at a place right now, I need that candy bar or I need that cookie, and being compassionate to ourselves in that moment, but then taking the next step of toughness to say, but I will pair it wisely. Even though it's not the most ideal choice or strategic choice, I can be strategic about it and pair it with a protein shake and some celery. Because if I'm going to raise my insulin, if I'm going to put these man-made chemicals and food dyes in my body, well, then I'm going to at least absorb some cofactors while I'm at it with my vegetables. And I'm going to put some protein in there to keep my blood sugar from dropping, so that if that happens, then I'm going to mitigate the cravings that come on in 5 to 10 minutes that will cause me to eat the entire bag. And so you can see it's a very complex way of thinking, but those two times of situations would be the best times to be eating carbohydrates. But as far as that, like how to deal with it, because it's scary. And quite frankly, it can be extremely scary. I was on the phone the other day with a client who's 450 pounds. And she said it best when she said, you know, Christy, it really is challenging to me because I know what to do. You've given me the tools and the tactics, but at the end of the day, I just don't believe I have a future. And I have found in my coaching that unfortunately, this is a big thought that a great majority of people share. And of course, I hope there's exceptions out there. Please, listeners, like, please be the exception. But the reality I have found as I am on the inside of many homes and lives is we doubt what we're capable of. We doubt our future. We doubt, you know, that we matter, that our existence matters. And we find that we're living for other people and other things, and we're just kind of surviving life. And it starts there. It's not about carbohydrates. The carbohydrates is an outer symptom. It's really a deeper root cause of what do we believe about ourselves and our potential and our limits. It comes back to that quote. I wish I could remember who said it, but it's not that we're limited. It's that we're fearful our possibilities and what potentially we could do. And so I think for each of our listeners, it really is a matter of who are you? What do you want? What would you like to accomplish? What if you could remove all doubt, all fear, all past failures or past programming that has led you to believe and think and act the way you are right now? If we could wipe that all clean, what would you say is possible? What would you like to do? And that is the game changer into starting to say, you know, I'm worth taking this challenge and saying it's going to be a change if I replace my carb with a fat at this meal, but I can do it. I can do one meal a day. And that's the momentum chain that builds our trust and our confidence in ourselves.
That is such powerful advice. I hope that everyone hits that back 30-second button a couple times and just goes back and listens to that whole thing again, because there's so much truth there, Christy Jo. I mean, powerful stuff. This is not just about do or don't eat coconut oil. This is not just about do or don't eat carbohydrates and how to do that. It's about the fact that you are worth it. You have all these choices that you can make each and every day. And, you know, something that helps me whenever I'm deciding, you know, I really need to make a change in my diet, I really need to step it up, is if I approach it in this way, that's like, no, Sam, you're not allowed to have that cookie. No, Sam, you're not allowed to eat X, Y, and Z. It's much harder for me than if I approach it in this way of, you know what, Sam, you are so lucky. You get to eat that avocado. You get to eat this delicious, good for you vegetable or whatever, and just changing that mindset a little bit. But it really does come back to that self-worth and that belief that you deserve to feel healthy.
It's so true. Well, and one other note, and I love that you took us through that mindset that you have, and that's why it's important for us to verbalize the different navigation of those thoughts, is I even go so far as to separate my body from me, because I believe myself, I am living in my body. My body is my host. And so as the vehicle for me, I have to treat my body with the most respect, because it's not me. It was a gift. And I am a renter of that gift, if you will. And I will take care of that. And I will ask, what does the body need? Because if I'm saying, what do I want? That says that that's emotional. That's what does my emotion, like what self-care, what self-love do I need to do, rather than what outer coping do I need to take? So it does. It goes, I mean, this is deep stuff.
That is great. Yes.
But these are the real solutions, and hopefully our listeners are at least thinking a little more.
Well, I think this is definitely going to wake some people up. This is amazing, amazing insights. Kind of tying this back to our somewhat topic of today of coconut oil and things like that, I'm sure that some people are going to still be a little skeptical. They're going to want to learn more. They're going to want to learn more about the research that's out there. What would you recommend as a place to start for people that want to do their own research?
Absolutely. I would definitely go to PubMed, and I would only read there. If you're reading blogs, if you're reading anything from a news source, you have to really question, what's the goal of these companies? They're media companies. Their goal is eyeballs, because that means more advertisers, more money. And so they will in topics, right?
And who's paying for the advertising, right?
So go to PubMed, and you know, you'll have to turn on the intellect of your brain, and you've got to look in, and even just an abstract can be helpful. But have in your mind always just a few questions whenever you read a headline or any information about nutrition or your body. And the first question should be, who benefits if I believe this information? Number two should be, what are they not saying that perhaps I should take into consideration? And the third is, who else is also articulating this exact same fact? Because I believe in the mouths of two or three witnesses, hugely. And so especially you look at the credibility, if it's two or three media companies, look at the source. Is that viable? Or is it in the mouth of two or three functional doctors who are healing patients, who are working to, and I guess healing is not, it's a reclamation. It's helping the body restore its natural processes. That's really what that is. It's not some magical thing. It's simply biochemical science. And so look who is also stating this information. And that's what I say about all nutrition. That's the only nutrition I teach, is I don't take any claim that's unwarranted. I look at all the research and say, this principle has been repeated and backed up numerous times. Let's now consider how it applies in your body, with your genetics, with your disposition, because no two people are going to eat the exact same, but principles will always come back to very similar. fats.
Absolutely. Well, Christy Jo, this has been just phenomenal having you on the show. Before you go, we always love to ask our guests these two closing questions. And this, we'll just keep it brief. I know that you're a very active, very healthy person, so I'm sure you could probably do a whole podcast on this question. But in its simplest form, just share with us, what do your daily health habits look like?
I go to the gym first thing in the morning because I am very focused on business and my people and my dancers. And the first few hours of the day are my time. I know I have to fill my cup. So I go to the gym first thing. Other key habits are food prepping every Sunday. I don't prep like to the T meals per se. It depends on the intensity I'm in, if I'm preparing for a video shoot, whatever. But I will prepare a base of foods, whether it's proteins, carbohydrates, fats, that I can easily throw things together and make a meal in less than 10 minutes. That's very important to me, speed. Those things are very important to me. Also, I take my core vitamins every single day. Now, do I teach some brand name out there? No, there's some very basics that I know my body needs and that everybody needs, like omega-3s, vitamin D, magnesium, glutamine. I also have kimchi 2 to 3 times per week. Actually, to be honest, I eat it like 3 times a day. People freak out when I tell them that. I lived in South Korea, so I love kimchi. It's the number one gut builder, and where leaky gut is impacting 70% of Americans, that's a great way, that fermentation, to get probiotics in there.
Yeah. Do you make your own kimchi or do you just buy it somewhere?
I don't. Unfortunately, I don't make my own anything because I'm still single. If I had kids and was in like more family mode, I think I would. But at this point, I do enough to keep myself kicking and awesome. And then the rest of my time is everybody else.
Yeah.
So I'm not a salsa maker or anything like that, unfortunately.
Well, I was just asking because I know that when you buy kimchi, you need to make sure it's actual, authentic, live cultured kimchi. And is that difficult to find?
It can be. I buy mine from a girl I met at a farmer's market in Salt Lake, I live in Northern Utah. So it's hard to say, but I think the biggest thing is if it's expensive and it tastes pretty foul, I actually haven't found any totally awful kimchi's in terms of authenticity. It's kind of hard to mess it up and not get probiotics. So I wouldn't stress too much on that.
Well, finally, what's just one thing we should all ditch completely and replace with something healthier today?
White sugar. Oh, get the white sugar out of your house. A few different sweeteners I have in my home include raw honey. If I'm baking, I either use raw honey or stevia, both liquid or sweetened, the powdered. Monk fruit sugar, it is a sugar alcohol, and so you want to be wise about just how much you're using, but those are going to be our top sources, or fruit. And so I use different ones depending on what my body composition goals are. For instance, right now I'm about 12% body fat, getting ready for a humongous video shoot I've been preparing for 6 months. So I'm pretty lean right now, which means I don't do any glucose. So if I need sweetener, it's like a teaspoon of monk fruit sweetener. But in a more of a, I can't even say healthy body fat. I really, because I'm very healthy right now. I've done it the right way. But when I'm more like 18%, where I usually maintain, then I would probably be using raw honey a little bit more. I enjoy that taste. And you want to make sure you are getting raw for sure, because there's a lot of fake ones out there too that don't have all the nutrients.
Yeah. What about maple syrup? Is that a good replacement for sugar?
If it's the organic, unrefined kind, it would be fine. I have found most people don't enjoy the taste. They don't get the same sweetener dispersement in the baked goods. If it's for that, if it's in like coffee or anything, I've actually never had anyone try it. I'm not a coffee drinker myself.
Maple coffee. Yeah.
Well, you never know.
You never know. You never know. Christy Jo, before you go, I know you have so much to offer the world. You know, where should people start if they want to look more into what you're doing?
I love the word start because I have a starter kit. So this is where you will get my Power Foods Lifestyle book, which discusses the science, not too deep. I go into it and then I come out to be like, all right, people, like real layman's terms here. And so the book and the audio digital files of me reading the book, which is super cool. And 3 volumes of my recipes, 6 sample meal plans so you can start seeing the packaging of those protein, vegetables, carbs, or the protein, vegetable, fat meals, and also a food prep planner. So all of that is only $37 over at powerfoodslifestyle.com.
Oh, wow. That sounds like an amazing way to start. I love that. Well, I will put a link to that in the show notes for sure. So you guys can just look below this episode in the description for that link, powerfoodslifestyle.com. Christy Jo, thank you so much for sharing all this amazing wisdom and insight on the essential oil revolution. That's it for today, folks. Thanks so much for tuning in. And don't forget to check out our Healthy Living 2018 support group. You can learn more at revolutionoilspodcast.com/detox2018. I hope to see you there. Also, check out our sponsors for today's show, healthiq.com/revolution. As always, folks, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.